it puts the physician, the nurses, really everyone in the position of not being sure what's the right thing to do.
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Tony Cirillo is president of the American College of Emergency Physicians. In January, he sent two letters to members of the Surviving Sepsis campaign telling them ASEP would not endorse the group's latest treatment guidelines. This is episode 15, We Can Do Better.
There actually are three components to our decision to not endorse the new Surviving Sepsis guidelines. First of all, we know for many years that the surviving sepsis, the issue of sepsis and how to take the best care of patients with sepsis has been on the minds of all of us. And so first thing we want to do is just remind everyone that our decision to not endorse the guidelines does not mean that we don't understand the importance of sepsis and the critical nature of that condition, but that we believe that there are guidelines, a part of the portions of the guidelines that really didn't meet today's demand in the emergency department that we work in. So though, there are three reasons. Number one is that we believe that the science around sepsis has evolved and changed, and that there were new studies that needed to be incorporated into the guidelines. The second is that they had created guidelines now both for adult and pediatric patients, but those two guidelines were not harmonized. They essentially were two different processes that we would have to implement in the same department, which always raises concerns about how that's going to work. And the third, Robert, was that we conveyed to the surviving sepsis folks that we did not feel that emergency physicians to whom these guidelines are being applied, including through CMS, that emergency medicine had the right appropriate voice and authority in the governance of how these were being created. And we really felt that those were the three reasons why we couldn't endorse this time.
But why is it important that emergency physicians have more of a voice in this process?
Yeah, the surviving sepsis folks, again, we give kudos to them for understanding and acknowledging for many years that sepsis is an important process to make sure that we take the best care of patients. But the folks who are in the leadership of that, for the most part, are critical care trained physicians, both here in the United States and in Europe. And while we believe that, look, there are bright people everywhere, the lack of the voice of emergency physicians, particularly in the United States, but honestly, I will tell you, in other parts of the world where emergency departments are just overwhelmed right now with patients that are boarding and with crowding and just increasing volumes and the increasing complexity of all of our patients, that having guidelines that really said we had to prioritize only one condition, really without being able to acknowledge the strain that emergency departments are under, and creating standards that honestly, at this point in time, may not be achievable or attainable, really needed some rethinking.
There's this issue that you mentioned a moment ago about the adult and the pediatric guidelines not being harmonized. Can you explain that?
If you think about patients, you know, in the pediatric world, there are times when we have patients, pediatric patients can be 17 years old and they can weigh 100 kilograms. And then we can have an adult patient who's 90 years old who weighs 40 kilograms. And to have two different pathways that would treat those two people in very different ways and actually probably provide more or over treatment for the 90-year-old compared to the 17-year-old is going to put our providers and the staff in the ED in the position of go, well, wait a minute, this is a 17-year-old, but boy, look at the size of the 17-year-old. Shouldn't this be the adult pathway? And yet technically they would have to be treated under the pediatric pathway, which will just lead to confusion and likely to mistakes.
It seems like these conflicts have left emergency physicians in a tight spot.
It puts the physician, the nurses, really everyone in the position of not being sure what's the right thing to do. And again, for the priority that we have is doing the right thing clinically for the patient. But the reality is that because sepsis is one of these measures that gets graded, if you will, by CMS, and reimbursement is tied to that, people pay a lot of attention to all of the little details that are included in these guidelines. And when you're creating a situation where there's likely to be confusion, people are not going to know what's the right thing to do. They may err on the side of doing the right thing for the numbers, but that may not be the right thing that they really believe for the patient. And that's really an untenable situation to put our physicians in.
Do you expect the campaign to make any changes or to do anything differently as a result of our position?
I believe they chose to move forward without our endorsement. What we've decided to do, Robert, as a college is, look, if you're going to say we don't believe these are the right guidelines, then it's going to be inherent on us to develop guidelines that we do believe are the right guidelines, that have the right input from emergency physicians. If these are going to be standards we're going to hold ourselves and our colleagues to, then we've got to make sure they reflect the reality of the environment that we practice in the United States. The second thing is that we've got to ensure that if there are adult and pediatric guidelines, that they are processed, again, that we'll use the word harmonized, so that it's very clear to the staff taking care of patients on any given day, what is the right pathway for us to take care of those patients, regardless of whether they're young or old. And the third is, we've got to make sure that the pathway, the guidance, and the guidelines incorporate the latest data and research about what's appropriate and maybe what needs to change from the guidelines and where they started many years ago and maybe not have evolved as quickly as we would have liked them to. But we got to the point where we said these are not guidelines that we think our members should be held to, and we think that there's better science. So now it's up to the college to begin a process, which we are starting, of looking at creating guidelines that we hope will become adopted by the specialty and that we can then convey to CMS we believe are better measures for us to be judged by.
So it sounds like it really is important to weigh in on this and to ask that we develop guidelines that actually can be applied the right way in the emergency department.
We want to make sure that to the degree we can, that we are encompassing people from throughout the specialty. So we want to make sure that we have good input from lots of folks on creating these guidelines. And typically there'll be a process of writing of a draft of guidelines, a review of that, input from many folks, many stakeholders. And we hope to be able to get to a point where we can say we're proud of a set of guidelines regarding sepsis that we believe meet the standard of the current science, meet the standard of being harmonized for both adults and pediatrics, and really are brought together with the voice of emergency physicians throughout the specialty.
What have you heard from members since the letters were sent?
Yeah, I will say, you know, as I have some private conversations with folks, they are grateful that we have finally taken a stand on something that has been really frustrating for many years. And, you know, I think particularly those of us who practice through COVID, you know, the concept of giving antibiotics empirically to everybody who is infected, who has fever and tachycardia, even if you know they have an infection, you know, during COVID, we realized that the patients had a virus. And so we did not give antibiotics to everybody, even though we know they were sick. And so I think that the kind of common sense take a step back and go, hey, we got to make sure that we're giving antibiotics to the right people at the right time, and not just empirically giving them to everybody, because we are over-treating people with medications, and that's not something we should do or take lightly.
Every day from now until March 28th, we'll feature a different story about the work of ACEP and its chapters. We'll talk about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. We kicked off the series on March 11th. You can listen to those conversations and read more about ACEP's work to develop improved sepsis treatment guidelines by clicking the links in the show notes. There's also a website, acep.org/results. You've been listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.